Monster Man, Episode 210, Hangman Tree and Haunt. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're beginning the H chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we do that, though, I want to take a moment to acknowledge some listener mail. I've been getting a lot of great listener mail, and some of these are, you know, longer emails that I really want to reply to, and they're just kind of sitting around waiting for me to find the time. So if you've sent me an email and I haven't got back to it, it's not because I don't want to. It's just because it's been a busy couple of weeks. However, there were a few people that I particularly wanted to thank. So my recent special episode about a monster from Japanese folklore, I don't speak Japanese, and I read short O as being the English short O. And apparently in Japanese, a short O is still pronounced O. So the monster that I've been calling a Rokurokubi is a Rokurokubi. But thank you very much to David Azzaghetti for correcting my pronunciation there. Other than that, I had some great comments on Jesse Ross wrote in to talk about the Young Adventurer's Guide. I was really interested in hearing from parents who had been enjoying that book together with their kids. And Jesse talked about how the Beholder illustration was stimulating his daughter's imagination and helping her imagine herself in that world. So apparently that does seem to be sort of working as intended. Jesse, thank you for commenting on that one. I was really interested to hear about that. I got great email from one of the hosts of the horror podcast, Bela Lugosi's Shed, which if you like horror films, horror media in general, is really worth checking out. I listen to it, and I don't really like horror all that much. I like monsters, but not horror. That's an oversimplification, but I wouldn't call myself a horror fan as a genre, even though some of the things I like the most fit into horror. Anyway, that's a side note. My point is that he suggested that there is mileage in the Gripply as being, you know, good creatures who can come into conflict with good player characters in the way of, like, kind of tragic real-world conflicts where, you know, for good, sound, material reasons, this human kingdom is expanding into the swamp and the Gripply are threatened and so on and so forth. Yeah, I mean, I think that is what they're for, right? Is when you have good, two sets of good antagonists, you see that, you know, in the real world, people who are of basically good conscience do in fact come into conflict all the time. It's just that's kind of a bummer, and also that I don't know why it has to be a monster, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with having people whose village is in the swamp and threatened by the expansion of this kingdom, right? Like, there's maybe even more kind of grasping the nettle of colonialism or whatever. So I think that making the people who are threatened frogmen does kind of have this weird sense of trivializing an important issue in a way that, like, you know, frogmen raiding merchant caravans to get the ingredients for their doomsday weapon sort of doesn't. I do agree that I think that that's what Gripply could be for, but I just also feel that, like, when you think about it, that the role is still better played by humans. In a lot of cases when I look at a monster, I'm not thinking, like, does this have a role to play so much as, does this have a role to play where that role isn't better played by something that already exists? Actually, that kind of ties into one of the monsters that we're going to be talking about today, so we'll talk about that in a second. But once again, thanks to everyone who's written in. I've still got a backlog, and I'm going to be trying to answer a few more of these over the next few weeks. All right, let's start with the Hangman Tree. I was astounded to discover that I hadn't done this monster already. The Hangman Tree is basically like, it's a big tree, it's got long, kind of, you know, viney tentacles, and what it does is it grabs people with its viney tentacles, and it deposits them in the pool of digestive acid in sort of the center of its stump. Do I think this because there's a similar monster in another game, or because this monster survived into a later edition? Or I went back and read through the Fiend Folio thinking there must be something that's like this but has a different name. There are various plant monsters, and some of them do have tendrils, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Anyway, the Hangman Tree is fine. I'm going to say the same thing about it that I say about most of these types of monsters, which is that they make excellent complications to an existing fight. If you run into the swamps to get away from the corrupt sheriff's deputies, then while you're hiding yourself, you might have the complication that there are hangman trees in the area. And it definitely has that sense, right? It seems like a swampy thing. You can imagine kind of the Spanish moss hanging from the branches. And then, you know, when we give it the name Hangman Tree, that conjures up all these sort of Southern Gothic associations. There is a surprising amount of information about the life cycle of this plant here. It really made me think that I was reading the Fiend Folio. Was it James Malachevsky who called this Gygaxian naturalism? This move toward thinking of many Dungeons & Dragons monsters not as magical creatures who live in a magical land, but as natural creatures that have an ecology, even if that ecology is sort of magical. It also has that sort of Livingstonian quality of seeming to be based on the behavior of some real-world predatory plants. It's fine. Unlike the next monster, you wouldn't be building a scenario around it. It's more of a kind of area hazard. Now, the next monster is the Haunt. And I've said before that there are a lot of different kinds of ghosts in Dungeons & Dragons, and frankly, they could maybe be pared down a little bit. But the Haunt actually adds some genuine difference to the various types of the spirit of a dead person monsters in this game. So what a Haunt is if you think of, if you go way back to the My Favorite Monster special, where I interviewed Hannah Powell Smith and we talked about ghosts in role-playing games, we said that one of the strange things about the ghost in Dungeons & Dragons is that it doesn't really match up to most ghost story versions of a ghost. And one of the things that it lacks is the feature where a ghost is created by someone who has died with unfinished business. The Haunt is someone who's died with unfinished business. And so what it does is it appears in its kind of spectral ethereal form, and it fights you, and if it beats you, it can possess your body. And then it will use your possessed body to carry out whatever its final task was. And that, it says, doesn't necessarily have to be dangerous. So maybe its final task is to hunt down the crooked sheriff that killed its brother, but maybe its final task is to tell its daughter that it's proud. So you could definitely have a scenario in which a Haunt was possessing someone and they were acting strangely, but they were maybe not necessarily in a harmful way. Or you could have the weird spectacle of a character being possessed by this thing and then it going on to do something really quite mundane with the character's possessed body, which is actually a fun idea, I think. The icing on the cake is that if the Haunt possesses someone who is of sort of opposite alignment to it, the last thing it'll do before it passes on into the afterlife is strangle them. Just imagine that you are an evil type, you know, some real cutthroat mercenary bandit sort of character. You wind up losing a fight with this, you know, spectral being that appears in the old ruined house on the edge of the woods, and then your party members watch in astonishment as you jump onto your night black steed, ride into town, and you find the lady who runs the inn, and you say, "Daughter, while I was alive, I was never any good at expressing my feelings, but I just want you to know that even though we disagreed while I was alive, I'm proud of you, and it warms my heart to see you and your inn doing so well. I love you, daughter. Now, if you'll excuse me, this guy that I've possessed is a real piece of work, so before I pass on to my eternal reward, I'm going to choke him out." If your character dies like that, expect to never hear the end of it. But actually, the Haunt is pretty good. I mean, like a proper ghost story ghost, it's a very story-focused monster. And that means you can fit it in most any place. Plus, also, it's a solution to a mystery. You know, why is this NPC acting so strangely? And is an unusual kind of creature. You know, it's defeated by being exorcised, which is something that I'm sure clerics can do, but they probably seldom get to do, and therefore they're pretty pleased. So the Hangman Tree is fine. You know, it's another fun thing to put in an area where a fight is already taking place. And the Haunt, I think, is really a quality monster. So the H section is off to a pretty good start. And if only we're a few weeks later, it'd be an appropriately spooky Halloween kind of start. But hopefully we'll come up with something suitably eerie as we move on through the Monster Manual 2. So please join me next time as we continue our journey through the H chapter here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.